Hello, everybody. My name is Laura Macer. I'm a master's student at Texas A&M in College Station, working under my advisor, Dr. Steve Haig. The title of my presentation is Determining Salt Tolerance Among Sunflower Genotypes. So a little introduction about salt-affected soils. They affect over 6% of the world's arable land. Salts in soils can affect seed germination, which can lead to lower yields. They also cause plant stunting, leaf burn, which affect photosynthesis, which ultimately affect yield. In addition, they have adverse effects on the soil, which you can see in the picture. Uh-oh. Go back up. Right here, with the loss of the soil structure. A little bit about sunflowers. There's 52 species that are native to North America. The cultivated sunflower is Helianthus annuus. In North America and around the world, most of the sunflowers today are hybrids, and they come in confectionery and oilseed varieties. Sunflowers are the source of 10% of the edible seed oil in the world, and the newer popular varieties are the New Sun and the High Oleic. So a little bit about salt tolerance in sunflowers. Sunflowers are moderately salt tolerant, but there's variation that occurs among the species. An example of this is the Helianthus paradoxus, which can survive ECs of 24 decisiemens. So the objective of my study is to screen for salt tolerance among sunflower genotypes. In my study, I have commercial hybrids along with some USDA accessions. Among the commercial hybrids, I have oilseed and confectionery varieties. And among the USDA accessions, I have wild populations, some F1s, and some other known salt-tolerant genotypes that were bred from the Paradoxus species. So about my project, I had three main methodologies. I had a petri dish screening, a greenhouse screening, and field trials. For the petri dish screening, I created a methodology for rapid screening in the lab, which measured the seed germination, and I measured the radical lengths of the seeds that germinated. In the greenhouse, I measured through vegetation and measured morphological measurements in the controlled greenhouse environment. The field trials, I took measurements through maturity, and I took height measurements, yield component measurements, and percent oil content. So here's some more about my petri dish screening. I had 24 genotypes that I placed in petri dishes. I placed them in varying concentrations of a sodium chloride solution. I put them in the seed germinator where in 10 days I checked them and measured the radicals. And I did this three times. So here are the results from my petri dish screening. You can see that I have significant genotype by the salt interaction. So it would be possible to identify salt-tolerant genotypes, but due to the high CVs of the test, I couldn't make any definite conclusions. So about my greenhouse screening, I had 24 genotypes with two plants per genotype in a CRD. I watered with the control solution, which was just RO water, or a sodium chloride solution with a target EC of 16. The solution was applied once a week for 3 weeks, and after that time, I harvested them, took leaf counts, plant heights, leaf lengths and widths, SPAD meter readings, and fresh and dry weights. So there were no genotype by salt interactions for any of the measurements taken. What you can see is it demonstrated reduced height with increased salt in the root zone. You can see in the picture here, the plant on the left has been watered with salt water, and the plant on the right is the control. And though none, the NOVA showed that nothing, there was no genotype by salt interaction. Oh, here's the ANOVA, I'm sorry. There were there was effect on the, that was determined by salt or the genotype. And here you can see how some different genotypes reacted for height and leaf area. A couple of the confectionery lines, the Seeds 2000 Panther and the Triumph 786, actually had increased leaf area when salt was added to the solution they were watered with. So I'll talk about my field trials. My field trials, I had two locations. I had College Station that had the low salts in the soil, and then I had Pecos, Texas, which has highly salt-affected soils, which you can see in the chart where the SAR is, or the sodium absorption ratio is about 40 times higher in Pecos than in College Station. Pecos is in far west Texas. So I had the 24 genotypes in the RCBD for 2 years. I took plant heights, total yield, 100 seed weight, and percent seed oil content. So genotypes were significantly different for height, yield, 100 seed weight, and oil content within the location and year. The genotype by location interaction was significant for yield and 100 seed weight. And here is my ANOVA demonstrating what I just said, that genotype by location was highly significant. And so here's some seed yield and 100 seed weights. You can see how the different genotypes were affected by location, with Pecos being highly having a high amount of salts in soil. The yield generally goes down, and seed weight is a little bit less affected, but it is affected. I took oil content with a four-year transformed NIR that I calibrated. Oil was not significantly affected by location. Another thing I wanted to point out on this was one of my USDA non-hybrid lines had one of the had among the highest oil contents, the TUB 1709-3. So here's some conclusions about my methodology. The rapid screening protocols, or the Petri dish experiments, they show differences in germination between the accessions or genotypes, but they need to be further developed to be to identify more salt-tolerant germplasm. The greenhouse trials should have had more precise environmental controls to see the differences better in the genotype by environment interaction. Height overall was not a good indicator of the salt tolerance. Oil content was not a good indicator of salt tolerance either. So salt tolerance is a complex trait controlled by multiple genes. The best way to select for salt tolerance would be to select for the trait of interest in the location that you're going to be working in. So for example, you'd want to select for yield or oil content in Pecos if that's where you're cropping. So from my field trials, I could make some recommendations for cropping. In College Station, Avanta Aguara, Syngenta 4651 New Sun, Syngenta 3732 New Sun, Triumph 664, and Triumph S668, which is a short stature line, those all yielded well. The Avanta Aguara yielded well and had a very high 100 seed weight. In Pecos, I only had 1 year of yield data, but from that 1 year, I would conclude that Triumph 664, Triumph S668, Triumph S678 all did well. And from my field trials, I would also suggest for further testing the Syngenta 4596 high oleic. It was a late entry into the test. The ARG 1575-1 had overall pretty low germination, so we couldn't make any definite conclusions on that. The TUB 1709-3, PAR 1673-1, and PAR 1673-2 all showed increases in yield from College Station to Pecos. So I'd like to thank my advisor, Dr. Steve Haig, Dr. Calvin Trussell, C. Wayne Smith, Dr. Kevin Crosby, Jessica Kep, and Jeff Wong, Dr. Seth Murray, Dr. Jackie Peterson, and Nina Stanley, NSA, and the Texas Department of Agriculture. Does anybody have any questions? Oh, thanks. That symptom is not common in sunflower. You don't see leaf necrosis. You see a darkening of the leaf, but rarely do you see the burn. Yes, sir.
Have you looked at the correlation between the greenhouse and the biotest and the seed test?
Is there a correlation?
Yeah. Well, I looked at it and didn't see anything overall. What I would imagine would be better would be to refine the greenhouse experiment and the petri dish so that it identified the genotypes better and then look at the correlation. So it was a stronger correlation.
I got one.
Okay.
Okay. You know, you had all these lineups.
Mm-hmm.
How closely related or how diverse? Or did you look at any exotic types to check to see if you could find, you know, it seemed like all of them showed that they were stunning. So I was just wondering if you've done any of that to look at more pattern reduction or whatever.
Right, right. The genotypes I used was a very diverse panel of genotypes. I had the hybrids, I had wild populations, and then I had the back crosses that had been developed by the breeders in Fargo. So, yes, it was very diverse. Anybody else?
Are you doing a second year of field testing at Pecos?
We actually did 2 years at Pecos. What happened during the first year was we had insect infestation that wiped out the crop. So, yeah, the study is complete. That's it. I don't know how it compares with soybean. It's a little less tolerant than alfalfa or cotton. It doesn't see a yield decrease until about 4.8 decimens. So.